Hello again. Well, while the EU and the US indeed ask, are we there yet? The driver of the Brexit mobile, Rishi Sunak, says nearly and then not really. And then it looks like Boris Johnson has tried to hijack the whole sorry vehicle. Well, there was supposed to be a deal unveiled today, but then it ran into the ground amid rumoured resignations, rebellions and red-blooded roars of never from some parts of the DUP. Well, shortly before coming on air, I spoke to George Parker, political editor with the Financial Times, and asked him about these rumoured ministerial resignations over Rishi Sunak. Sunak's outline Northern Ireland Protocol deal.
There's been speculation of ministerial resignations, particularly from those members of Rishi Sunak's cabinet who are Brexiteers, members of the, or former members at least, of the European Research Group, that's a very pro-Brexity wing of the Conservative Party. But I'm told that two of the most important ones, Chris Heaton-Harris, who's now the Northern Ireland Secretary, of course, and Suella Braverman, the Home Secretary, neither of them intend to resign from the cabinet over this proposed deal. And indeed, Chris Heaton-Harris has become one of the most enthusiastic supporters of it. And I think that's really important because he's carries a significant amount of credibility with his colleagues on the Brexit wing of the Conservative Party. But that's not to say that Rishi Sunak won't face a very torrid time, I think, from some of his own MPs if, as we expect, he proceeds with this deal.
Now, Rishi Sunak was obviously confident of being able to cut a deal. He personally flew to Northern Ireland for a round of meetings with parties, more parties maybe than he wanted to meet with. He was hands-on. He flew to Munich. What happened?
Yes, I mean, to be honest, he was quite relieved at the way that the deal, or the outline deal that he presented to the parties in Northern Ireland, was quite well received, not just, as you might expect from the SDLP and Sinn Féin, but also Geoffrey Donaldson, the leader of the DUP, said that good progress had been made, although he said more progress needed to be made. Now, of course, the DUP doesn't speak with a single voice, and that's part of the problem that successive British prime ministers have had in dealing with the DUP. You never quite know whether the leader is able to take their party with them. Then he flew off to Munich, as you say. He had a meeting with Ursula von der Leyen, the European Commission president, which, again, went quite well. From a European point of view, and I think from the Irish point of view as well, it's a question now of whether Rishi Sunak, or when Rishi Sunak, is prepared to jump and to finally take on his own party and that moment of truth, see whether the DUP will actually swallow the deal he puts on the table.
Right. I mean, I suppose it's not good for any British Prime Minister to come back from Munich declaring peace in our time. But, you know, at least when the DUP was sounding a conciliatory note from its leadership, at least, as you point out, they don't speak with one voice. The mischief maker in chief seemed to enter stage left over the weekend. We had talked sort of sources close to Boris Johnson saying that accepting the deal he cut was intolerable.
Yeah, I mean, Boris Johnson always wants to have his share of the limelight. He also obviously still wants to return as the Prime Minister, and he will make life as difficult as possible for Rishi Sunak. And I think George Osborne, the former Tory Chancellor, hit the nail on the head when he said, look, basically, Boris Johnson will take whatever instrument is available to hit the Prime Minister with. And in this case, it's the Northern Ireland Protocol. I think some people in Downing Street would think that Boris Johnson's got a bit of brass neck. You know, he was the person who negotiated this protocol in the first place and has spent most of the last 3 or 4 years trashing it, basically. Rishi Sunak's trying to find a way to improve it. And Boris Johnson's still there in the wings, basically calling for the whole thing to be scrapped.
And is this Sunak's biggest test? If he looks weak on this by succumbing to the anger of a faction of his own party, it doesn't augur well for his leadership in the long term, does it?
It doesn't. And my instinct is that he's not going to cave to the European Research Group. I think he has now gone so far down, he's gone so far down this path now that I think turning back will certainly make him look extremely weak. I think he is going to proceed with the deal. I think he'd like to do it this week, if at all possible. Thursday is still being talked about in Downing Street as a possible date for doing it. If it moves into Friday, that's impossible because, of course, it's the first anniversary of the Russian invasion of the Ukraine war, and Ursula von der Leyen and the European hierarchy will all be marking that occasion. But, yeah, I think the deal is still very much on the table. We had a meeting in Westminster tonight of the DUP and the ERG to discuss their tactics. Geoffrey Donaldson came out of the meeting and said still work needed to be done to secure the deal. But you get the sense, as far as Geoffrey Donaldson's concerned, at least the gap is narrowing. And, you know, I think it'll be quite an interesting test for the DUP if and when this deal's put on the table.
And Rishi Sunak isn't Theresa May. He doesn't have the same numbers challenge with regard to holding a majority in the Commons. So could he face down that rump? And how big is that rump that he's facing down? Or do we know the numbers of that?
If there's a vote on this deal, and it's not clear that it seems that it doesn't have to be one technically, because it's a simple, it's about the implementation of the protocol rather than a brand new treaty or anything like that. If there were to be a vote, I think Rishi Sunak will win it quite comfortably, because he has the support lined up already of the Labour Party, the opposition party, which says it will do the right thing. And of course, that's always a very uncomfortable position for a prime minister to be in, to rely on the votes of the opposition party to get their business through. But he would be able to get it through. I don't think that's an ideal scenario from his point of view. But it's hard to tell how many Tory MPs would rebel. If the DUP accepts the deal and returns to the Stormont Assembly, I think the rebellion will be very, very small indeed, a handful at most. If the DUP, after consideration of the deal, throws it back in Rishi Sunak's face and says, we're not going back into the Assembly, then I think that's when the trouble really starts for Rishi Sunak, and the rebellion could run to dozens of Tory MPs potentially.
How big a priority is it for him? How much is it a part of him trying to build the image of a reliable technocrat who will be good for the economy in the long term, so they can fulfil the other post-Brexit promises like building back better and spreading out the wealth of the UK?
Well, he certainly sees it as part of his own image as Prime Minister, of being this technocratic problem solver. And what could be a bigger problem for a British Prime Minister to solve than Brexit and the Northern Ireland Protocol? So I think it's partly that. I think he also sees this as being part of an essential repositioning of Britain on the European stage after 6 or 7 years of absolutely terrible relations, frankly, between Britain and the rest of the EU. Also, he sees some economic advantage as well. For a start, Britain, we would expect, would be readmitted to the Horizon Europe Science Research Programme, which is really important for UK universities and scientists. And then hopefully over time, some of those really irksome barriers that have been put up by Brexit might gradually, one by one, start to be relaxed slightly. So he can see an economic advantage as well. I think for all those reasons, he's determined to press ahead with this.
And that was George Parker, political editor of the Financial Times. Christina Finn, to you first. There was supposed to be a spending package announced today,
yeah,
and a cheerful end to all the wrangling over the Northern Ireland Protocol. One thing happened, the other didn't.
Yeah, one was hopeful, but as with things with this Northern Ireland Protocol, things don't always seem to pan out as people might expect.
But no Pancake Tuesday, pun
unfortunately
intended.
Not, but exactly. Leo Varadkar was saying that there was very good progress made, and that now was, again, a time for space to be given for these talks and final deals to be signed off on. I think there is a fear out there about, you know, someone saying the wrong thing at the last moment and, you know, someone being insulted and the whole thing coming asunder. But I suppose there is a lot of optimism that something will get done. I was in Blackpool when Micheál Martin first met Rishi Sunak, and that was their first meeting. And of course, that was, you know, getting this deal done was on top of the agenda. And you could really get a sense there at that first meeting that I think Sunak wanted to get this thing off the table, wanted to get it off the desk and move on to other things. Perhaps he didn't think it was going to be as difficult as it is appearing to be now. But interesting to hear that. I think he does probably have to face down this now at some point, or somebody does, really.
Right. Rory O'Murachu, when you hear that the DUP and the ERG are meeting in Westminster, it's times like these you wish you were an MP for your party, do you?
Not in any way, shape or form, with numbers that wouldn't make any impact. Let's be clear. See, when it comes to the bit, a British government will do what it always does, and it won't be particularly worried about the unionism or the DUP, right? You have the likes of some backbenchers. You've had, obviously, the most famous of them all, Boris Johnson, playing games, almost playing the orange card. That's not helpful. I brought up the issue of the protocol and obviously what's going on at the minute with the Taoiseach, and he did talk about the fact that there's constant communication with, obviously, partners in Europe, and that there is a fair amount of communication with the British government.
And your party indeed communicated directly with Rishi
Sunak.
No,
that's it. And look, where we all lie, I was in Strasbourg last week. I met with Nathalie Lasseau and with David McAllister. And look, they're all saying the same. It looks like a deal. There's a possibility of a deal, but there's an absolute fear in relation to how British governments have dealt in the last while. So there'll only be a deal when we know there's a deal. But the fact is, Rishi Sunak needs a deal. That's where our hope is. He is probably going to have to face down the more stranger elements within the British Conservative Party. And it really bugs me that we are reliant on, you know, a British Conservative leader to have, you know what I mean, so we can have surety in relation to the island of Ireland. But I think there's a real solution in relation to that long term. Right. But at this point in time,
in the contrasting lengths of meetings that were held between the DUP, in fact, who had two long meetings with Rishi Sunak, because they're obviously the target of this charm offensive, as opposed to relatively short meetings with the rest of the Northern parties.
Well, the fact is that just tells you where the rest of the Northern parties are, in the sense of no more than an awful lot of stakeholders in the North, business people and whoever else, they want to see a deal. There are some that'll say, yeah, let's see streamlining. We all want to see that. Now, the DUP have put themselves in a cul-de-sac. Hopefully there is a deal. It's absolutely necessary. And see, at that stage, hopefully that they can get on with the work that is necessary in the North, and that's get the executive back up and running and deal with the issues that are impacting on those in the North. And then long term, we can deliver Irish unity, and we won't be too worried about what's going on in relation to the British.
I don't think we'll get that covered tonight. Tim Roberts, who do you worry about offending in all of this?
Offending? I think, look, I don't think it's about offending people. It's about making sure we get this over the line. There's an awful lot of work been done with our European partners, between the UK, obviously, involved as well. And it's going the right way. And it's just like getting this over the line in the next few days is just really important.
And you think it is your sense of it, or at least how you presumably are being briefed by the Taoiseach as well, is that this is a matter of days?
Well, we'd be very hopeful that it's going the right way. There's an awful lot of work being put in. Obviously, to have the Prime Minister come to the UK or come to Northern Ireland and have those talks, it shows how much work has gone into this. Look, this has been a long road. There's been an awful ups and downs on this road. Hopefully, we're coming towards the end of it now. I think the interaction between the UK and the EU, from what I've been told, has been really positive. And now it's about trying to deliver this in the shortest time span that we can.
Right, and you can't walk down a street in West Cork without people asking you how it's going, can you?
Well, there's interest in politics in West Cork, both in international, national and Northern Ireland. So we've a great understanding of all issues pertaining to these issues.
Great. The unrelenting capacity of the good people of West Cork. Thomas Pringle, you're as well from a border constituency. Is there concern about this being gotten wrapped up quickly at this stage, for people, business people, who are moving over the border to just have some certainty so they can plan?
Yeah, the big problem is the whole uncertainty that has been there through this whole issue. And in reality, it comes down to whether Rishi Sunak is going to be strong enough to actually carry it over the line. And I think the whole discussion and the talk about it is about what's happening in England and what's happening with the Conservative Party. And it shows where Ireland figures in relation to what the Conservative Party look at. And I thought your contributor there was very positive, a lot more positive than what I was reading today in relation to the prospects of a deal being done and whether there's going to be a backlash within the ministers and the Conservative government. So I hope that Sunak has the courage to actually go for it and make a deal happen, because it's vitally important for the North and indeed for Ireland as well.
And is there anything in particular that, you know, constituents are coming to you about and saying, you know, where this is going, what kind of certainty they need, difference between, you know, sizes of business or...
Not really. I think what people need is certainty more than anything else. Well, now, I think people can deal with it if they know what the outcome is going to be or what way it's going to work. And that's the problem, that the whole thing is up in the air at the minute. And they don't know exactly what way it's going to fall down. And I think that's what needs to be, clarity needs to be brought on in relation to it. I think in relation to Donegal has always managed, because the border is there anyway, I've always had to. So I think the people of Donegal and the businesses in Donegal will manage, because they'll have to anyway. But, you know, I think that we just need the certainty, and they need Sunak to actually have the courage to actually make the deal and make it happen.
Right.
Well, in fairness,
does it come up in your constituency? Do people talk to you about it?
Of course it does, and there was huge worry, particularly at the worst times, in relation to the entire Brexit situation. At this point in time, there are businesses and those who are operating in the North who have seen the advantages of the protocol. All they need is that clarity, that we can put a finality to it, and obviously See, at this stage, people are hopeful. Therefore, they're not worried as they are as worried as they were previously. But see, if this was to go wrong, would we be very worried about anything that would even be in smelling distance of a hard border? That would be utterly unacceptable. So therefore, we need this deal to happen as soon as possible, and then we can move on. And like I said, there is a solution to this entire problem long term. In case no one heard me earlier, Irish unity.
All right, okay, well, we'll give you the last word on that. We may come back to that again on another evening.